praise the Lord.
Oh, yes, you are Lord. Oh, yes,
awesome
you are
God,
Lord.
You are so good. Father, those are not just casual words to us. For where would we be without you? You're the God who makes us make sense. Lord, your divine will, purpose for our lives must come to pass. Remember us, Lord. Remember us. Remember me. Remember me. Everyone just say, remember me, Lord. Remember me, Lord. In your mercy, remember me. In your loving kindness, remember me. And save me. Help me. Deliver me. Redeem me. Sanctify me unto yourself. We give you praise, Most High. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a joy to see you this evening. Mama is not here this evening, but she's praying for us. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I want to continue with the subject of God's remembrance of us. When God remembers me, what kind of things happen? And today I want us to go to the book of 2 Kings, the third chapter. In 2 Kings, the third chapter, the story is about the king Jehoram, who's the son of King Ahab. He had reigned in the 18th year of King Jehoshaphat, and he reigned for 12 years. Now, his father, Ahab, had the people of Moab paying dividends into his kingdom. They were subjects. Now, Ahab is dead, Jezebel is dead, and the king of Moab decides, not doing this anymore, not paying. I'm not going to pay anymore. I've had it. So he decides not to pay. And the Bible tells us that Jehoram decides to take matters in his hand. In verse 4, the Bible says, "And Mesha, king of Moab, was a shipmaster and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs." 100,000 lambs. And 100,000 rams with wool. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria at the same time and numbered all Israel. He went, instead of counting his fighting force, came to the conclusion that he didn't have enough to handle the king of Moab. That's interesting, that if he didn't have enough army of a force to subdue and subject Moab, to pay, that his father Ahab didn't have either. Are you with me? So it's not about the amount of people that you have that causes others to be subject. But when Ahab died, remember what we talked about, that things change when something dies. Remember I was talking about that? Now, when Ahab died, Mesha came to his senses and said, "What? We're not doing this." He didn't come to his senses that something needed to change until Ahab died. That's why I say to us that one of the key principles that we must adhere to is to recognize the power of something dying so that your change comes. Amen? And just like 2023 passed away, change must come to us in 2024. Somebody shout hallelujah. Whatever baggages that 2023 had goes with 2023 and is buried with 2023. Thank God for all the blessings. The blessings continue on. But everything that does not belong dies with 2023. And 2024 must be a year of productivity, a year of increase, a year of blessings for you and I in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us he numbered his people, found himself short, and so he sent to Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. Judah is the southern kingdom. The kingdom had been split into the 10 northern kingdom and the 2 of the southern kingdom. Now, that happened during the reign of Rehoboam. Now, we think many times that the split that took place at the death of Solomon during the reign of Rehoboam, and remember again, death took place, yes? And Solomon's son, Rehoboam, comes into power, and that's when the kingdom split. But the kingdom actually split at a time when David was asked to come to become king. Saul is dead. Hello? Come with me. This is very important. Saul is dead. David had been anointed as king even before the death of Saul. Do you remember that? Now that Saul is dead, who should go and reign over all of Israel? David. Yes? But does David go and reign over all of Israel? He reigns over the 2 southern kingdoms of Judah, and the north, the 10, were still, because he said, when they invite me to come to rule over them, then I'm going to go there. You see, sometimes niceties don't help you. It was his right already to reign over the 12 kingdoms, the 12 tribes, so to speak, rather. But he decides to reign over the 2 that are family, not over the rest of them, and was waiting for them to invite him to become king. And so a crack was created. And that was the natural crack that took place when the north went on their own with Jeroboam, and he is left with Judah. Are you with me so far? Listen. Don't let the enemy have any part of that which God has given to you already. The enemy must not have any part of what God has given to you already, because you think you are so nice and so polite and you want people to invite you to that which God has given to you already. That is foolishness. If God has given it to you already, step into your destiny in faith, by faith, through faith. They were waiting for him to take his rightful position. And as long as he did not step in and take it, somebody else took it. So the kingdoms were split. And now, Joram calls on King Jehoshaphat, who is the king of the southern kingdom, and says, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Will thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. We're supposed to be one with family. So he decides to go on this battle. And he asks, which way should we go? How do we go against this enemy? And they decide to go through the wilderness of Edom. Edom is a son of Esau. There's a family of Esau, the Edomites, or Edomia. And so these three join together, and they head out. And as they head out, the Bible says, so the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, all three of them. And they fetched a compass of 7 days, journey. And there was no water for the host. They're going through the wilderness, and there's no water. They're short of water. The military, the force, are fainting under the heat of this battle. They are tired. They are weak. Their cattle is following them, have nothing to drink. Everybody is in a mess. And who do they blame? They blame God. The king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord, it's interesting, he is not serving God, but now it's the Lord. If the Lord had called these three kings together, God had nothing to do with this. He's the one that's going to fight. And he's the one who invited Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom and says, God. You know, when people get into trouble, they have this funny way of blaming God for everything. God, it's God's fault. It's always God's fault. God has brought us out here to kill us, to deliver us into the hand of Moab. You are three military forces, three kings, one Moab. And you think God has set you up to be destroyed. This guy is so good at counting. And now he cannot see that he even has more than what Moab had. But again, it's not about the numbers. It's so easy for us to think about numbers because we think if we have this amount of numbers, then we'll be able to do such and such and such. The Lord Jesus Christ did not look at numbers. In fact, when it tells us about the feeding of the 5,000, it did not count the women and the children. And in any gathering, when it has to do with religious matters, there's always more women than men. It's the truth. It's just the way it is. If you count one man, maybe there's two women, maybe three women to that one man. So we don't really know how many Jesus had to feed, but he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The people said, what is this, you know, to take care of so many? But when he finished with his 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he had 12 baskets full remaining after feeding all of them. It was not about the numbers. It was about knowing that God is faithful and giving God thanks. Here is Jehoram, and he's thinking, oh, we're done. But Jehoshaphat, who had encountered in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the Ammonites, Moab, and the sons of Seir, three nations, and did so not with an army, but putting forward his choir by the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and saw three armies wiped out. They turned against themselves and destroyed themselves, said, isn't there a prophet? Is there not a prophet around here? We need a prophet. Because he knew the prophetic voice changes things. Just as when something dies, things change, the prophetic voice changes destinies. Praise the Lord. So he said, isn't there a prophet around? The Bible tells us that one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water in the hands of Elijah. This is very interesting because Elisha is in the north. He's not even in Judah. Elisha is here. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. Fetch him. Get him. So the Bible tells us they went. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. They went down to him. I think this was engineered by Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat recognizing the importance of the role of the prophet. He says, let's go. Let's go talk to the prophet. So they went to the prophet. And this is where the word remember me comes into play. When they get there, the Bible tells us that Elisha looks at them and looks at Jehoram and says, if it were because of you, I will not even say anything. The only reason I'm going to say anything at all is because of Jehoshaphat. I respect him. He remembers Jehoshaphat and begins to address the situation. He says, first of all, I need a minstrel to come and play. And as the minstrel began to sing and to worship, Elisha says, the Bible says, in verse 15, now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him, meaning Elisha. He says, for thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Now the guys are tired. Everybody's tired. And the prophet says, dig in this valley. This valley is a valley possibly where a river might have run through. There's no water. It is dry. And he says, dig. Dig. Why am I digging here? He didn't say dig wells. He says dig ditches. Why? Because the next statement from the mouth of the man of God, he says, there's not going to be any wind. There's not going to be any rain. But this whole valley is going to be filled with water. It doesn't make any sense. I am tired, and you're asking me to dig ditches. And then you're telling me, that there's not going to be wind, there's not going to be rain. So how is this place going to be filled with water? And what's the connection between that and me digging ditches? Well, you see, in the hard places of your life and my life, when God wants to do a miracle, He asks of us to soften the ground. We've got to till the ground. In those areas where you used to know the blessing of God, and now it seems like nothing is happening, God says, dig there. But don't dig there expecting that that's where you're going to get your blessing from. Dig it because I want the soil to be softened. Because there is something I'm going to do. While you are digging and it seems like you're not getting any results, the blessing that I'm going to bring into your life is going to show you that I have everything planned out. When God asks you to dig, dig. I don't know what God is going to ask you to dig at, but dig. It doesn't make any sense. Just do it. 5 loaves to feed this multitude. Just do it. Just do it. We don't have money to pay the taxes. Go catch the fish, open its mouth, and you're going to find what you need to pay it. Fishes don't carry gold in their mouth. They don't carry money. Just do it. Oh, I have so much debt. And God says, go borrow more vessels. I just told you I have debt. And you tell me to go borrow. He says, go borrow whatever it is you can borrow. And then that which you have, pour it into everything that you've borrowed. It doesn't make sense. God's ways of doing things many times don't make sense. The only thing that you need to do is just obey the instruction that He's giving to you right this very moment. What is God instructing you to do? The instruction is dig ditches all over the valley. Get your shovel and start digging. Put some sweat into this. But God, I thought you said it was a year of rest. Yes, it's a year of rest. If you want that rest, start digging. Contradictions. Contradictions. I thought it was all by faith. Yes, but faith without works is dead. Tell me something. What are you saying? Faith, just keep on believing? Or is it works? No, God says it's both of them. This hand and this hand together. You know, if you just saw one hand like this, you won't know that I'm praying. But you can certainly say, oh, that guy is praying when two hands are together. That's the way it is. Oh God, I need help here. Hallelujah. Dig. Put some sweat into this. Dig. I didn't say 6 feet. I said just make a ditch. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. You don't know what you are doing, but just loosen the earth. Loosen the soil. What is it? What's going to happen? Just do what I said. For thus said the Lord, ye shall not see wind. That's important. When you dig this soil, the wind is not going to come and blow it away. Because I want that soil loose. I'm not going to bring wind to blow it away. There's a time when God brings the wind. There's a time when God brings the dark cloud because He wants to manifest His glory. But there are other times when there's no wind. No wind. God keeps the wind at bay because he doesn't want that soil blown into the air. God, what are you trying to do? Don't worry about it. He says, no wind, neither are you going to see rain. What is the rain going to do if rain comes? Rain is just going to smash everything down and muddy everything up. He says, no rain. However, this valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, and your cattle and your beasts. But this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. I am not only going to give you, you came asking for water, you're going to get the water. But really what I'm going to do is I'm going to defeat Moab for you. Moab is going to be defeated. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city, every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. In other words, I am going to destroy the economy of Moab. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Moab doesn't want to pay. They're going to pay another way. Okay. And so the Bible says, and it came to pass in the morning. I want you to read this with me. And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass in the morning. In the morning, not at night, in the morning. When? In the morning. When? When the meat offering was offered. Do you know that this right now is the morning? We're just starting the year. This is the morning. This is a time that we present the meat offering unto the Lord. This is the time that you bring your first fruit to God. This is the time that you set apart unto God. But so many are not wise enough to know that this time of the year is very crucial in our Julian calendar. Well, the early morning started in September for us, when we did Rosh Hashanah. These are two very important key points. Amen? While they were offering the meat offering, as they released the meat offering, as they generated an altar unto God, water started coming from Edom. Wow. Where did the water come from? They are already walking through the wilderness of Edom. And God, from Edom, brings water. Do you know Esau sold his birthright? Remember that? For porridge, for red. And what God was saying was that that which was switched off in a wrong way, that he was switching it and calling it something else. So porridge, red hair, God is associating with the blood sacrifice. Are you with me so far? He is connecting it with something, what he's calling it. And he's calling it and saying water is going to come out of this. Just like water came out of the rock. He brings it from an unusual source. Water comes in, and as the water is rushing in, the loose soil is all over the water. And God does it in the morning as the sunrise is coming up. The reflection of the sun on the water on the other side where Moab was, high up in the mountains. They look into the valley, and what they saw was blood. Somebody listening. God didn't tell them that's blood. They saw it and confessed with their own mouth, it's blood. And they said, the kings, all the kings have killed themselves. It says in verse 22, and they rose up early in the morning, and the sun rose. The sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab, to the spoil. Let's go take all the spoil. So they head out to get Israel unprepared, thinking Israel and Judah and Edom were defeated. See, you've heard me say this before. The enemy will always confess its own doom. But not only does the enemy confess its own doom with its own mouth, but the enemy, when God wants to rout them, will cause them not to be ready, no matter how ready they are, not to be ready for the surprise that God has against them. Amen? That's why the word of God says, my people shall never be ashamed. When the enemy wants to put shame on you, don't buy it. Don't embrace it. Because it's a setup. God has something on his mind. Tap into it. So they see, and they come, and as they come, Israel rises up. The Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites, even in their country. And just like the prophet said, they began to destroy the economy of Moab. Now the Bible tells us, and this is an aspect, this is a passage of scripture that is a shocker. The Bible tells us as they are being smitten, the king of Moab, Mesher, decides to fight back some other way. So he picks up on one of the kings. Mesher decides, okay, I can't fight all three kings, but let me take care of the Edomite king. So he set his face, he put 700 men together with swords. Seven meaning a complete force. Are you with me so far? He put his forces together and he goes against Edom. But the Bible says that as he sought to break through unto the king of Edom, he says, but they could not. They could not. They could not break through to Edom. Why? Because God had turned the thing around that was against Edom when he started bringing water from there. The Edomite didn't have any right to the blessing of God, other than God decides, I am going to turn a history that is bad around. And so he did not allow Edom to be attacked and put down. They could not. the king of Moab, Mesha, which means deliverance. What do I do? And so he generated an altar. What altar? He decides to take his only son, his firstborn son, the eldest son, the one that was going to reign in his stead. He takes that son and slew that son on the walls. He made the wall of defense of his nation, and he slew the son, killed the son, sacrificed the son, a precious. Now, that is diabolical. But hear this. In the eyes of God, this man just gave a precious. And when he gave that precious, it didn't matter whether he sacrificed it to the devil or what altar it was, but because he gave a precious, the Bible says that Israel and all of them lost. An indignation. The Bible says, he offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall, and there was great indignation against whom? Israel. Why? Because this man just gave a precious. Something died. A precious was given. And when that precious was given, the battle changed. They've been winning. Israel, Judah, Edom, winning, defeating them, putting everything down. And one thing, may no one ever outgive you and I in the mighty name of Jesus. And the way not to be outgiven by any forces is for you and I to be able to bring to God that which is precious to us. Releasing it. You see, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 10. Book of Acts, chapter 10. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. He saw, first of all, the Bible says he was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house. Three, which gave much alms to the people. Four, and prayed to God always. He was a committed man. He says he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour, nine representing the number of fruitfulness, the time of birthing. He saw about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers, watch this, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a what? Memorial before God. Your prayers and your giving have come up, because those are two things that smell in the nostrils of God. Your prayer and your giving. That captures the attention of God every time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 It is come up for a memorial before God. A memorial is that which reminds you of something. When we're talking about God, remember me, we're talking about God, grant me the grace and the ability to build a memorial before you, an altar before you. The Bible tells us about Jacob moving away, running away from his brother Esau. And he comes to this place. And when he comes there, he takes a stone and makes the stone a pillar, or a pillow rather. Rests his head there. And while his head is rested on that pillow, he saw a ladder that went up into the heavens, and angels ascending and descending. And he calls the place Bethel. He says, this is the house of God. God was here, and I did not know it. Guess what? One of those, the stone that he used for his pillow, was part of an altar that his father Abraham had built. I put together and called the place Bethel. It was not Bethel because Jacob called it Bethel. It was Bethel because his father had already called it Bethel. And even though the altar was broken down, the altar was still there. That which we do abides for generations. Amen? So whatever it is that we are committed in doing, it's not set aside as meaningless. The Bible tells us about the woman with the alabaster oil, Mary, who came and poured the precious on the feet of Jesus, over him, anointed him with this oil. It seemed out of place. In fact, the disciples were saying, what a waste. What a waste. We could have sold this thing and used the money, you know, to feed so many people, taking care of the poor. And Jesus says, hush up. What this woman just did is going to be repeated over and over again. It's a memorial. She gave the precious. There was a woman. Jesus comes into the temple and is sitting there close to the treasury. And people were bringing their big bags of money and dumping it. And here comes this lady. The Bible says she threw. She threw it in, just like you did. But you did it quietly. But look at the change of the story. Right? She threw it in. Because if she goes in there too close, she might change her mind. She just threw it in. And Jesus, our Lord, said to his disciples, come, see that woman? Yeah. They just threw in the mite. Yeah. She gave the biggest offering. She gave a precious. You know, the time that you are able to give the precious is when you are least able to give anything. Then, what is this going to do? Leave that to God. Just leave that to God. Tonight, I want you to change the trajectory of your year. By giving unto the Lord your heart, till those areas in your heart. Just dig the ditches. You don't know how God is going to do the miracle. It's not for you to figure it out either. He said, you're not going to see rain, you're not going to see wind, but this whole valley is going to be filled with water. And not only is it going to be filled with water, so that your immediate need, which is for you to survive this drought, is going to be taken care of. But not only is that going to happen, the enemy that took time to come fight against you, even though they are in the higher ground, for the Bible says Moab went up. Their story ends here. And so it was. They were defeated. Not because of the great army that Israel and Judah and Edom had, but because of a prophetic word that had been spoken. And they seeing step by step by step the manifestation of that word. May God give you a word that changes your story. It changes my story. Tonight, may we bring to God in this morning the meat offering. But beyond the meat offering that causes the water to flow, may we bring to God that which is precious to us. And I want you to mark on your offering envelope if and only if whatever it is that you're going to give is precious, mark it out as precious. But if it's not precious, please don't write it. Don't say precious if it is not precious to you. But if it's precious to you, write it precious. Because we are erecting an altar today that will stop the enemy and cause us to finish what God started. Israel was not able to finish the prophetic assignment because Mesha, whose name means deliverance, through giving the precious, his name was answered. His country was finally not fully defeated. Every enemy in my life must be finished. Amen? Every enemy in your life must be finished. We're not just going to stop them casually or partially, but 100%. I want the enemy of my soul to be fully defeated, because the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is being declared out of my mouth, and I honor his precious name. God gave us his precious, did he not? To save us, he gave us his precious. Cattle, oxen, sheep, lambs, rams, that's not going to cut it. The only thing that is going to bring total deliverance is the precious. So I'm going to give you my only begotten son. Precious. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Rise with me. Father, you remembered Cornelius. You remembered Dorcas. For the people came and brought their precious gifts, gifts that Dorcas had given to them. And they said, Dorcas cannot die. She cannot die. Peter, you must bring her back to life. Look at all the amazing things that she's done for us. And you remembered Dorcas, and Dorcas was raised back to life. You remember the centurion. They said, the centurion's son cannot die. He has built synagogues for us. He's a good man. Do something for him. Lord, today we are asking, oh God, that you remember us, not because of our good works, but Lord, remember us because of your mercy. And remember us because, Lord, oh God, that when you asked us for anything, we obeyed. So we ask, oh God, for mercy. We ask, oh God, that your hand will rest upon every man and every woman here today to enact change, transformation for every life. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. Lord, oh God, for Abraham, you said, I want you to give me your precious. Give me your Isaac. And as he looked up, he saw behind him a ram caught. And you said to him at that altar that was called Jehovah Jireh, God, my provider, but in fact, the God who sees me and blesses me with that which is seen. We are asking, oh God, that as we sow tonight, the Lord, oh God, that your blessing upon our lives will be seen. In the mighty name of Jesus, that our lives, oh God, will be as you have declared by the word of covenant, the covenant that you spoke, oh God, over the life of Abraham, the Abrahamic blessing, that you make us, oh God, a great nation. You bless us. You cause us to be a blessing. You give us a name, a great name. Father, we thank you, God, for all of the blessings, O God, of Abraham. Father, this morning, in this morning, in this morning, in this morning, let, O God, the sun rise. And Lord, O God, let the tilled soil, O God, the ditches, O God, that we have dug, O God, by faith, experience the watering, O God, of the water that comes out of Edom. In the mighty name of Jesus, from an unlikely place, Lord, oh God, let your water flow. And Lord, oh God, let the enemy see that which is going to expose them to their own doom. For Lord, oh God, when the enemy comes, we thank you, Lord, that we rise. They came thinking to get a spoil. But rather, Lord, O God, they shall be spoiled, and we shall, by the authority of your glorious name, experience supernatural victory in every area of life. And all of God's people together in agreement in Jesus' name said, yes, and amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to have us share in communion tonight, but at this time, let us just all come and give unto God. Praise the Lord. Remember to write the words precious if you're giving that which is precious to you. May the Father speak over our offering. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. While communion has been handed to each one, this is the fourth day of 2024. The number four is a remarkable number. How many of you remember what happened on the fourth day of creation? The fourth day, what happened? I will allow you to cheat. Open your Bible and tell me what happened on the fourth day. And this time, don't ever forget it. Huh? Okay. What else happened? Read all of it. No guessing. Huh? Come on, be bold. Okay, just put the verse up already. Bible says, and God said, let there be what? Lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for what? For signs, and for what? Seasons, and for what? For days, and for what? Yes. That's the fourth day. Yes? The sun is in place. Yes? Okay. And God says, it is the day for the change of seasons, times. Today, the fourth day, is a day for changes. Do you see it? God said, let there be lights. And the sun rose. Shone on the waters. And that was a change of seasons. Do you see it? Lights in the firmament of the heaven. And it separated the day from what? The night. Separation. And let them be for what? Signs. And for what? Seasons. And for what? Days. And for what? Years. As we take off this body on this, the fourth day, let it be a new day for every one of us. Hallelujah. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. He ascended and sat in the heavens. And the fourth day became the new day of new beginnings and new seasons. Are you with me? Four is a number that represents the four cardinal points, not east, west, and south. Not east, west, and south. News. The good news. Amen? May good news come your way today. As we take off this body, let the story of our lives forever change for His glory and honor. You are not here by accident. You're here today because God has already enacted change for you. Take and eat. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The Moabites saw the loose soil that was now floating as water, and as the sun rose, they said, "That is blood." But they thought it was the blood of the kings. But Jesus Christ shed His blood. And when the enemy comes, thinking that we are dead, we rise again in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And see the demise of Moab. Take of this cup and drink in Jesus' name. All the way to Calvary, He went for me. He went for me. He went for me. All the way to Calvary, He went for me. And now He sets me free. So I can shout hallelujah. I can shout hallelujah. I can shout praise the Lord. So I can shout hallelujah. I can shout hallelujah. I can shout praise the Lord. May the hand of the Lord rest upon you. May God carry you in those moments and times in your life when you're too weak to even move. May He bear you in His hand. May He strengthen and uphold you with His right hand of righteousness. May He establish you in your going out and in your coming in. May you find pasture as His grace abounds. May the Lord remember you and your household, even now as you are positioned to experience the miraculous in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, tomorrow night, we are going to have a very powerful anointed guest speaker with us. And don't miss it. Hallelujah. I won't miss any of the times this week. I can understand sometimes people, things happen and they cannot make it. But whatever you do, stay connected. This is important. Amen? Hallelujah. Remain blessed and highly favored of the Lord. And please be reminded that on the 7th, our worship team will be releasing the first of 6, I believe, they told me not CDs. CDs old-fashioned, so I'm trying to be modernized. What? EP? That's what they call it now? Okay. Well, they said it's called EP, so EP. EP, EPA. Hallelujah. Well, it's going to be released this Sunday at 12 on all musical platforms, and we need to support them. So please, if you don't mind, Sunday morning, bring something a little bit extra just for them, okay, to assist them to put things together and catch up with all the necessary bills to bring it about. God bless you. Enjoy a great, great night, and I'll see you tomorrow. Good night. All right. Is there anybody on Zoom I need to say a quick hello to? Zoom just crashed? Just now? Wow. Why did it crash? We don't know? Okay. All right.